Andrew Love, if you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love, Andrew Love, if you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love, Andrew Love.
Oh, Andrew, I do love this logo.
Hello and welcome to yet another Rain Stops Play. Which is quite ironic, because I've just rushed indoors with my hammock, my slightly sodden hammock, because it's just fucked down with rain.
Fucked down.
Don't forget, everybody. Fucked down. Yes, I mean, I wouldn't like to, I can't, I'm trying to think of a sort of a polite way to say that, but it just absolutely...
It's, you know, standard weather person usage word, isn't it? I've heard, what's his name on the, you know, that good...
Michael Fish?
Not Michael Fish. He's been long dead. No, that good-looking one on BBC, who everybody fancies.
Good-looking bloke?
Who everybody fancies.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, I can't remember his name. It's something.
You fancy him, don't you, then? Obviously. I don't think anyone else
fancies
him.
No, my mum does.
Oh, your mum does?
I've heard him say it.
You both fancy him.
He said, like...
You both fancy him, the weather forecaster person. Oh, and he uses the terminology, it's just fucked down.
Yeah.
Fucked down. Okay. What's on you? Is that on BBC, is it? BBC standards have definitely... slumped of late. Anyway, so back to my story. I just rushed in to do this podcast with a slightly sodden hammock. And that's not a euphemism for something else. It is actually a hammock. I wonder what a euphemism it could be. Anyway, because we're having such fun. Actually, I'm going to get this out of the way because I want to just tie it in with what's happening in this country at the moment.
This country has gone to the dogs.
We've basically just at this moment, we're just going to the next phase of loosening up the lockdown. Loosen up the lockdown. People are meant to now be able to go into pubs and into restaurants and into places where the other people are, and they can get their COVID there. but we've obviously, at the same time, we've got this new variant, the so-called Indian variant. So that's all going on. So there's a bit of hesitancy, I think. People are kind of go, but I don't know what to do. And it's a bit like the weather. The weather is aping that at the moment, or mirroring that, because the weather really should be rather nice by now. We're approaching June, and look at me, Mark. What am I wearing at the moment?
Cardigan. Or it looks like.
I think it's a bit more than a cardigan. That's a woolen jumper. A woolen jumper.
I'm wearing shorts.
And the reason, oh shut up! And so it's just been fucking. When the sun actually comes out, and it's on your face. It's rather nice, but so much. That was quite funny. That, do you know what that's called? That's called karma there, because Mark is now struggling with his spit shield. Spit shield. Isn't that what it is?
What it's called.
It's to hold back your spit.
Pop shield.
Whatever.
Spit shield is what you wear for your boxer, isn't it?
Yeah, but the amount of stuff that comes out of your mind when you're talking. It's disgusting.
All right.
And anyway, that's because you laughed at me and the English weather. But
I didn't laugh at you.
The weather is hesitantly. It's not quite sure it wants to go into summer, and in the same way that we are being very hesitant here in this country, not officially. Officially, we've been told to go and run into pubs and kiss each and tongue people, but I think lots of people are going, I don't think so. There seems to be a new Indian variant.
Yeah.
So there we go. Blah 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 blah.
Good lord.
How are you?
I'm all right. I should say, because I did put a playlist together for today. That we started off with a song, the new song from The Coral called Lover Undiscovered, which is a very good song. I'm very well, thanks. It's sunny, it's been like 75 degrees, the sky is blue completely.
Cough. Cough. Fuck off.
I'm not trying to rub
that's
it
enough
in your
weather.
Face
Nobody
anything.
Wants to hear about weather anymore. That's enough weather okay, chat for one show, okay. Isn't it?
Right.
Right.
Okay. yeah, I'm all right. That's the end
got
of that.
In the end, yeah, that's good. Tick. Oh, I did enjoy your song. Mark sent me a song. It's very sweet because you asked me what I thought. I mean, it makes me feel like a grown up musician. If you, the proper musician, you send me a song and you say, "What do you think?" And it was very good. You should play it somewhere, like on here or on your radio show.
Yeah, one day. It's very good. Still tinkering.
It's probably tinkering. Really.
I like yours too. Oh, we already talked about that last week, didn't we? Don't need to do that again.
Talk about it again if you like.
Yeah, your song's great too.
Fan club of one each.
Brilliant.
One each fan club. It's quite funny because I've been releasing my singles, I've been writing tunes and then whacking them onto Spotify. And then you go onto internet and you go, look, I've released a single. And of course, nobody gives a shit.
Apart from me.
I think, apart from you, you go, well done. Well done, Bruce, for releasing your... Well, Hester gives a shit too.
Right.
But it's quite funny, isn't it? The idea of releasing a single. Back in the old days, if you were in a band and you released a single through a record label, it'd be very exciting, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Very exciting. Not quite the same thing when you could just do it from home and people can go, meh, whatever.
That's true.
So anyway, I want to talk about lockdown lovers.
Do you?
If that's all right. That's not people who get together to have some nookie during lockdown.
That's a relief.
Right. Not I don't those want to hear about lockdown that. Lovers. No, we're too old for that stuff now, aren't we? Ugh. Apparently, in a recent poll... said that 14% of people were lockdown lovers. By the way, that's not their term. It's my term. Actually, it's Katie's term, but I nicked it. Lockdown lovers, 14% of people don't want things to go back the way they were before the pandemic. They kind of really enjoying just not probably working. They're probably on furlough. That was the other thing. Apparently, there are a lot of people apparently on furlough who have worked out that earning 4/5 of their money and not working is much more fun than earning 5/5
yes,
and having to work. So it's going to be very interesting when furlough finishes and there's going to be this very reluctant workforce going, oh, for fuck's sake, it's not worth it. And I wonder how many people will then join our ranks as idlers. Proper idlers, because they would have tasted the idle world and gone, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Love it.
The army of idlers is growing, biding its time.
Yes. So lockdown lover. So if you're a lockdown lover and you listen to the show, please do get in contact with us on the usual, I no idea how you do that. Write a letter to Mark. Mark Crozer, New York.
Well, we do have a Facebook page that I don't think I've updated for about 3 months.
Yes, well done on that. That's good. But, well, I'm not surprised. It's so boring, isn't it? Who gives a shit? But anyway,
over Facebook.
There might be things on there that people have contributed to. I'll tell you what, the other one you could do is Twitter. You could contact either of us on Twitter because I like to get a tweet sometimes. We exchange tweets, messages with Luca from Italy via that form sometimes. I don't know. Yeah. Or a letter to Mark in New York is even better. Write a letter with a stamp and everything.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about it? What's been your general thing? I know that you've wanted to... Would you say you're one of the 14%ers?
Yes, I'm not keen for things to go back to how they were, that's for sure. I would like to be able to do a few things a bit more easily, like come over there to the UK without having to go through multiple sticking things up my nose in order to get there and then quarantining. That would be nice. But I'm not desperately in a rush to go back to a so-called normal life. I'd like the social element to improve, to be able to, like, you know, hang.
Well, fuck off. See people. Fuck you then.
Eh?
Fuck you. Well, it'd be social. You talk to me every week, you lucky bastard.
No, that's
good. You want to extend that circle, do you?
This is one of the highlights of the highlights of the lockdown pandemic situation.
Oh, you're just
talking to you every week. No,
now.
Honestly, if I didn't have you to talk to every week, I really would not be talking to very many people at all.
Oh.
So that has been really nice. But it would be nice to just, you know, go out to the pub, whatever, and have a drink with friends. But I'm not in a desperate rush for things to return. I don't really want to go. I mean, I do want to go back to work. I'd like to start touring. Doing some, well, yes, touring. Get some money, essentially, and get paid for being me. But that's a way off yet for me. Not till November before I start back at work. But at the same time, I do quite like just staying at home and not really going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the idler thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The idler thing, you fall in love with home, you think, oh dear, everything's an effort beyond it. But
I mean, I haven't even been into Manhattan for about 2 weeks. And that's only a half an hour subway ride. And even that is like, ooh, it's a bit of an effort to do that.
Well, also, you have to think about, I suppose, if you're on a subway train, then you've got to still think about, I know you've been jabbed and all that stuff, but you've got to think, you know, other people around you and stuff. Yeah. That would still be in my brain. I'm not fully vaxxed yet because obviously I'm much younger than Mark. So, yes. And the good thing about the Indian variant and the bad thing about the Indian variant is that the good thing is basically, I think they're actually suddenly getting more people who are vaccine hesitant people to actually take the fucking jab because they've realised that actually it's real. Yes. And it's stalking their neighbourhoods, and maybe they don't want to end up on a ventilator. So that might work for us. Hopefully that's going to be the way.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to join in now and go, well, 35 million people haven't died of vaccine disease yet, so I reckon it's all right. I hope so.
Ruby, my daughter, had her first jab yesterday.
Wow, but she's only like 12.
Yeah, she just turned 12 a few days ago, in fact. Yeah,
that's amazing.
They just opened it up to the 12-year-olds and over 12.
That's way faster than us. I mean, we're in the 30s here.
Yeah, I think in New York, it's about 60-something percent of New York adults have had at least one jab. And I think about 40% have had two. So it's doing quite well, but like,
so hang on. But so 40% haven't had it.
No, have it. 60% have had have had one shot
jab,
and about 40% are fully vaccinated.
Okay.
So it's quite good in
that's
the city.
Good. It's very good
in the city, and maybe that's New York State, and in the country generally, it's going quite well, but it has sort of slowed down because there are a lot of people, particularly in the. I don't know how to say it without being in the stupid.
You can say what you like on this show.
Stupid states.
Stupid states.
Well, I don't want to have that.
Talking about the stupid states, it's quite just before we have another song. Should we pick up on stupid states after the next tune?
All right. Here's one by The Staves. It's my favourite album of the last few months so far. It's called Next Year, Next Time. You should like this album, Bruce, because I think you'd really like it. It's definitely your cup of tea.
Yes, okay. Well, I will at some point. Obviously, I'll add it to my list. I want to show you something, Mark. It's in the Sunday Times. Talk about stupid states. Just wait there a minute.
No, okay. Well, he's left the room, and he still seems to be wearing his pyjamas. And he's back the depths of the hovel.
Adding to your... I'm just going to show Mark a picture, a centre spread from the Sunday Times. For you. I'm just talking, it's quite extraordinary in the Sunday Times. There's a few of these pictures, just going to show that there. So can you see that, Mark?
Shooting
off,
for fuck's
sake. What can you see?
It looks like a deck of someone's house with about 400 guns laid out very neatly. And a smiling couple with their son. Is that in America by any chance?
It's in America. Hey, some more here for you. Some more here.
Oh, my God. Is that a woman in a bikini?
Yeah.
On a bed, surrounded by guns.
I think she's had a bit of work done to her, to be honest.
Fuck.
I'm laughing.
Oh, my God. This is embarrassing.
So she's with a chap who's a ex-military guy. And they're surrounded by their... I think is that like a fridge in the corner full of guns? Look in the corner. Is it that keeps your
it's not very clear, I have to say, but yeah, it's a gun fridge. They're very popular over here. Keep your gun cool.
I'm laughing, but it's quite extraordinary. It's, you know, extraordinary for us over here, this side of the...
Oh, God. It's extraordinary for me. And I think it's, for a lot of people over here, it's extraordinary, you know?
It's just the fact they've got so many. So, you know, there's one family there that got 80 assorted different machine guns and rifles and shotguns and pistols. And that, you know, I bet around the back they've got mortars and tanks as well. But they just felt a bit ashamed to show those on the patio. But apparently, so you could probably know this, that there are at least, there are more guns than there are people in America.
Well, if that hall is anything to go by, it's not surprising. Yeah.
Apparently, that's official, and that's not even the official. So they think it could be twice as many. It could be approaching a, could be approaching. Hang on a minute. Could be approaching. It's not a trillion, is it? We've got 390. No, not a trillion. Anyway, a billion. It could be approaching a billion guns. At the moment, they think they're at least 400 million guns.
That's extraordinary.
Different ways to kill each, to kill your neighbor, your neighbors, and is this just quite. It's quite a shocker to see that. So just don't do what they've been doing in Israel, everybody. Just don't have a little civil war because it's going to get very messy.
Yeah, right? It's a terrible situation.
But anyway, let's not get too kind of caught up in the the real world. Not for rain stops play where everything is light and fluffy. There we go. So, we've got some. Do you want a bit of news? Should we talk news?
I love a bit of news.
Because we've had your song. I heard your song. Really good. So, end of last show, we said that we had a meeting coming up for this thing, TV thing that we've been working on, that Mark has contributed to with a song. We had this meeting with this broadcaster, and it was very interesting because. The broadcaster person, and this is the gatekeeper. This is the one who can green light, who can say, "Yep, we're going to do this." Loved it.
Yeah,
loved what we'd done. Thought we'd done a fantastic job. Loved the idea. Blah blah blah. Wanted to do some, you know, had some notes and things to do with it. But there is an issue. I can't go into the details of it, but there is an issue which is blocking us.
Mm.
With that broadcaster. So it's been an emotional end of last week because, you know, we've talked before about the teaser possibilities.
Yes.
And it's not like fantasy possibilities. It's basically you're sat opposite on a Zoom call with the person who can make your dreams come true. And they're loving it. And you think, well, that's great because we've done all this work and it's a great idea and they're loving it and they're the gatekeeper and all we have to do now is walk through that open gate and we're there. But then this thing appeared and the thing halted it, maybe forever. But so that's, yeah. And I actually felt at the end of, I've had some other shenanigans going on with, let's just say, a governmental agency here in the UK, a governmental agency.
That sounds a bit ominous.
It's not quite. It's very. I'll tell you the details after we do the show. But anyway,
so the X-Files.
And they've been fucking bastard crap, awful, incompetent fools. So I had that as well. And that's very boring stuff as well. Just very, very deeply incompetent, foolish government, useless agency. And then this thing here where you get kind of, the door's going to be swinging open. And then it's like, oh, it's got stuck. The door's got stuck. So at the end of last week, I felt really tired. Like I hit a wall, proper wall, kind of, not a real wall, but it almost felt like a real wall. And I just, over the weekend, just been recovering, but feeling quite sort of jittery, just kind of very on edge. And I noticed that my heart's been racing quite a lot. You know, when you're lying in bed, like, I'm thinking, goodness, I'm going to have a heart attack. I don't think it is. It's just the adrenaline pumping around and everything else. And
anxiety. That's probably what that is.
Yeah, it's an anxiety thing. And I thought, oh, dear. And it's just, it's exhausting. So just need to get out onto the hammock, really, and just stare at birds and clouds for a while, really.
It is incredibly, incredibly frustrating to get to a point where it seems like everything is lining up and then there's that one thing, particularly knowing the details somewhat, that, you know, it's a bit of a stupid thing.
Yeah, it is a bit of a stupid thing. In fact, Hank, we can say it's a very stupid thing.
It's a totally stupid thing, yeah.
Yes, that's the blockage. and we can't say what it is, I'm afraid. Yeah. But yeah, it is. Yes. So it's yeah. So you were saying?
No, that was it. It's not surprising that you feel a bit, you know, anxious or worn out. That is a bit of an emotional roller coaster.
Rollers coasters.
So getting out of the hammock, doing some deep breathing, clear, you know, doing all that stuff.
I want your weather. I'd be fine if I just had a few days of your weather. I really would.
Yeah.
2 days of your weather would just be wonderful. Oh, well. I can see a bit of blue now, but behind the bit of blue, I can see this big bit of black. And that's a metaphor for life, isn't it?
It's quite different from this time last year, because I was over there March and April last year, and it was just beautiful that most...
Stunning.
Probably 80% of the time.
Yeah, it was absolutely stunning. Gorgeous.
So, yes.
There we go.
All a bit strange.
Do you want to have... Oh, have you got some things with it? You had some things written down last week which we didn't use. Have you got any of those, or have you lost a bit of paper?
I have got some stuff, but I was trying to think if there's anything in relation to worky stuff that we were talking, seeing as you were just talking about work.
Oh, I see. Right. Teaser possibilities.
I was going to talk about what you drew my attention to.
What's that?
A few days ago with relation to the interview thing that we did.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't know anything that. So Bruce... called me up on whenever it was, Friday morning or Saturday morning or something, and said, go and Google your name and Bray Wyatt. So I did. And then I saw, so that interview thing that he did with me a few weeks ago has been quoted on several wrestling and sports related websites. And it threw me into a little bit of a panic, because it makes it kind of seem like I was bitching about the, which I was, I suppose, really, about the WWE, and I said, it was quoted me saying, like, I thought it was a crap deal.
But so you see,
I went to a little bit of a panic for a minute, thinking I'm going to get. But I haven't heard anything from them, so I'm assuming either they don't give a shit, or they haven't seen it, or it's no big deal. So
also, I think contextually, it's interesting, because also, the thing was. If it wasn't, you know, you're allowed to have an opinion about the deal. You're allowed to say, true. It wasn't a very good deal. Actually, it was quite a crap deal. But at the same time, within the same answer, you said, but actually, better something than nothing. And obviously, that many people will listen to it will relate to that, because they go, well, actually, WWE are this big, huge, monolithic organization, and they could squish you like a gnat if they want to. So basically, just try and take what you can, because, you know, it's like trying to negotiate. It'd be a bit like, it was like when I did that that audio comedy pilot for Audible, which is owned by Amazon. I mean, if I wanted to try and negotiate with Amazon, try and negotiate my deal, I mean, that's not going to happen. They say, this is the money.
Yeah.
Don't like it. Fuck off. So what you were saying was just honest. So no wonder they haven't come back to you, because it's like, well, you know, it's true. But it is quite funny when you see it. Not funny. Funny is not the right word. But in black and white, when they take the headline thing for that, you know, because they always drag out some sort of clickbait headline. Mark Crozer says this.
That's true. I guess I was just surprised to see that, because once again, I just thought nobody's really that interested. And you know, obviously, there is some interest in what I have to say about that. So I have to be, I would say, a bit careful, but I do need to make sure I don't say the wrong thing, I suppose.
Well, you've been all right. They haven't come around yet, have they? With baseball bats. Not yet. Which ties back to what you're saying about
send a couple of wrestlers around.
Yeah. They wouldn't get through the door, though, would they? Probably. They're quite big.
Put in a headlock.
Aren't they? And go, Rosa! But they wouldn't say, kind of like Ray Winston, would they? Accent, they'd do. I'm going to try and do a burly American wrestler accent. Hang on, see if I can do it.
Wait, okay, there, cruiser. Oh, I'm going to get you like...
went West Country at the end, didn't it? Oh, no.
Turned into a pirate.
Wait,
I could be your
cruiser.
Gimmick.
The pirate. I got you right
in
my... Everything goes pirate in the end, doesn't it? Oh, dear. All right, then, should we have another tune?
All right. It's from the new Dinosaur Jr. album. It's called I Ran Away.
Speaking of running away, Mark wants to run away, but he hasn't been given the money.
I was just looking at the Anchor statistics just as you were talking about that, and I thought, like, I wonder if that has generated any interest in the podcast, and the answer apparently is no.
And it's quite funny because you see all these sites, and it's quoted. It actually has a link to the podcast, and it's like, nah, it hasn't done anything.
Oh, it does.
Hey. Well, the link to the podcast and all these online reports of what you said. Yeah, you're right. It hasn't made any difference at all. It's quite funny. We're destined to not be listened to by many people. But at least the ones who listen to us, we love them. They are favourites.
Yes.
Is it time for talking of favourites? We got Hester's back this week. Last week we didn't have a question from Hester. She's a very busy gal. So I'm not saying Mr. Hook isn't as busy, but she's particularly busy. And we've spoken to her very firmly about this in the past, saying you've got to be less busy. But she still continues to be very busy. Anyway, she did grab a little bit of time, and she's and this is her coming up, her Hester question, Hester Tester.
Private investors and goof about like a couple of jesters. Try to stop as you try to arrest us, but before you do, it's time for Hester's Testers.
Okay, you are the one that found E.T. Okay. Science offers you a huge amount of money, so you don't have to worry about money ever again because you found E.T., I guess, yes. What do you do? Do you hand him over or do you safeguard him?
Let's establish, first of all, are we talking about E.T., like the character in E.T.,
yes,
the film?
Yes,
not
yes.
Just a not just some generic alien.
Well, it could be a generic. It doesn't matter. You found an alien. You found an alien, and the alien... doesn't want to be discovered by the scientists. So it's the same kind of story. That's why she's E.T. So the science says, all right, we know you've got him or her or it. So we'll give you shitloads of money. So do you take the money? Or do you protect him?
This alien, E.T., has made it clear,
I don't want to be taken by the naughty men.
Like that or something. Then I would say, no, you're going. I need the money. You can.
You do need the money.
You can
get
anally probed. I do need the money. But
you do need the money,
I'd like to think that I would not take the money.
And also, sorry, but Hester's saying here, the amount of money involved is the... So you won't have to worry about money ever again, Mark.
But I like worrying about money.
Do you?
It's a big part of my life. I don't know, what would I do if I don't have money to worry about?
Health. You'd worry about
I'll
your health.
I'd have to do something else.
Your health.
Yeah, I'd have to worry about exactly. I'd be worrying about other things. So, I don't know. It's a tricky one, that, because what would I do with an alien?
Look after it.
I suppose it could live in...
That cupboard behind you.
In a cupboard, yeah.
Behind you. Be happy in there, the alien.
Is it trying to get
home? You're being very honest about it, because you're not just going, I'll look after the alien because that's the right thing to do. You're going,
I'd like to think that I would, and I can say that here in this hypothetical situation. That would be my gut reaction, is of course I wouldn't sell an alien to the government. But, you know, faced with that in the real world, maybe I would just say, oh yeah. This actually reminds me, of that film that you told me to watch.
Oh yes.
Stowaway. Which, spoiler alert, if anyone's
Big spoiler alert.
Right, so it did kind of go down exactly the path that I thought it would, where there wasn't going to be enough oxygen for everybody and they had to sacrifice someone. And I did have this feeling, like I put myself in that situation. I thought, if that was me on that space station, I would just say, you know what? We've got to do the right thing here and just accept that we're all going to die, because I'm not prepared to let anybody die to save the others. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And I was thinking, like, that's what I would do in that situation. But then I was, you know, same as this, hypothetically, that is very different from the reality
yes.
of it. Anyway, so...
Well, it's a classic balloon debate, isn't it? It's a classic balloon debate, was the whole Stowaway film thing, wasn't it? Because it's kind of what, you know, you're losing altitude, so... out of your three or four famous people, which ones are going to go? And you have to argue your case. Otherwise, you all die. So I think probably what I'd have done in Stowaway is I would have just, when the others weren't looking, I'd have bumped off one of them and I would have pretended that I was trying to save the person, but they died or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so devious. I'd say they... That's so devious.
I'd say they were trying to. They'd gone mad. Then they had a gun. And they were going to kill us all. So I struggled, and they died. And then I was really afterwards. The reason why that person's still not on the ship as a dead person is because I ejected him out of the old space lock thing, just to tidy up. But that's what happened.
I was thinking about like. Well, the like a bigger picture in the sense that, like, let's say if I was one of the people that had to make the decision that somebody had to die, and had to kill them, then you've got to, would I rather die and feel like and die knowing that I didn't commit that awful make that awful decision. Yeah. Or would I rather, you know, survive and then have spend the rest of my life racked with guilt over having sacrificed somebody?
Yes. Because they all lose in the end, don't they? They all lose. They all lose. But then in the end, to spoil it, she volunteered, didn't she? So the others were right. I mean, they'll still have survivor's guilt, but she went, I'll do it then. Well, it wasn't quite like that because something happened at the end which made it impossible for her to... whatever. Very quickly, just on the subject of this Stowaway. So just very quickly about the premise. Because I said there was something about the premise that is tricky to get to maneuver yourself around. So just tell us what that was.
Yes, I was going to say it's good that happened at the beginning. So essentially this... They've gone into space to the space station to conduct experiments, whatever. Three people, three astronauts.
They're going to Mars, you numbnuts. And then experiments up there. They're going to Mars.
Yeah, but they've gone to a space station, haven't they, to start with.
Yeah. Which goes off to Mars. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Anyway, and then after about a day or less than a day in the space station, they discover somebody is stowed away behind a panel. Right.
But not deliberately.
Not deliberately, it would seem. No. Accidentally somehow got themselves screwed into screwed into the ceiling of this thing behind this panel.
Yeah.
And even more remarkably, they survived.
Yes. This person. They survived.
Just happened to be working on it when it when you say it like this, it does sound totally preposterous. They were working on something in the capsule. When it took off. It's like,
but not only that, ridiculous. No, Mark, that, you know,
they wouldn't have realised.
Mark, It's not only that.
Yeah.
Okay, what happened, and I couldn't get it out of my head, is the fact, because they discovered, yes, as Mark says, they discovered this person who's basically in the ceiling, as it were, and they've got artificial gravity at this point. So blood's coming out, so this person's got been wounded, and then they just take the screws out, and he falls on top of her. Straight away you think, hang on, not only was he working on the innards of that bit of the spacecraft, but somebody, his mate, they're probably working with two of them. So let's call him Bob and his mate Danny. His mate Danny just turned around and thought Bob maybe had finished and went, oh, Bob must have finished. So I'm just going to put the screws in here. And Danny's there going, oh, no, yeah. What are you doing? Don't put the screws in, because then you'll trap me. I'm still here. And he goes, oh, no, he must have gone. He's off to have his tea. Me, me, me. No, I'm here. And then big rocket goes off. And yeah, it's the fact that they have to wear helmets and they get oxygen and shit, don't they? Because they're flying off into space. But
right.
He wasn't in a... He didn't have an oxygen mask on. He was just in his work overalls.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like, where did the air come from? Where did the air come from when he was in the rocket?
Exactly.
Going off?
There wouldn't have been any air in that part of the ship, because they wouldn't have needed it at that point. It was just in the actual capture thing.
So completely nuts.
That part was totally ridiculous. But after that, I mean, if you kind of overlook that, which is quite hard to do.
Yes.
It was quite a good story, but that is if you're going to do something that is based that is kind of portrayed as a very real situation, you can't throw in a totally ridiculous element like that without making the whole thing a bit, you know, unbelievable,
flimsy as it were.
Anyway, back to this alien,
go on then. What have you got to say about that? Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, the alien...
Well, I have. You haven't given... I don't know. I don't care.
I think what I'd do is I would say to the alien... I'd explain it to the alien. I'd say, alien, look, it's very boring and tedious trying to make money, get money, borrow money. Definitely earning money is a particularly tedious thing to do. So they're offering me money that I don't think about. So I have to, that part of my life, I don't have to worry or think about. And I hate thinking about money. I hate worrying about it. And I say to the alien, look, you understand, don't you? So is there something we can do, some sort of deal here that we can do? Otherwise, I am just going to give you up. Okay. So I give him warning, a fair warning. And I'd say, look, so I kind of rig it, I think, so that I got the money and he escaped. So I think that's what I do. I try and be a little bit foxy about it. I get the dough and go, oh, no, but he's gone anyway. How did he escape? How did he get out? But you owe me the money anyway. I told you where he was.
Yeah, you could arrange a meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arrange a meeting with the government and say, I'll give you the alien when you give me the money.
Yeah, yeah.
And then do one of those, like they do in the film, where it's just like a soft toy under a blanket, and they pull it back and go, oh, we've been had. Yeah. Meanwhile, you've legged it off to the Bahamas.
Yeah, but I think they'd still track me down. I think I would do it slightly. I would do it that basically I've pre-warned the alien, so the alien has time to escape. I say, he's over there, right? And I'd have him tied to a post, but it's not completely tied up. And behind that shed, he's got his spaceship and it's already ready to go. So he can escape, jump into a spaceship and shoot off. And they go, oh, pesky alien. But yeah, actually, you did tell us where the alien was. Here's the money. You don't have to work again. And the alien's happy. That's the answer. Time for tune, I think.
Right.
What have you got for me?
Yes. All right. It's the Sundays. Can't be sure.
Is it time for On the Hook?
I guess it is.
Well, don't sound so excited.
Yes, On the Hook.
Thank you. On the hook.
I was just distracted by something. That's all. Yeah. Yes, it's On the Hook. Woo!
That's better.
On the Hook with Simon Hook. His questions we do slay. Unrinsed up slay.
It's interesting because I'm not sure we said that, because Hester had said that she had spent the night in a museum. I'm not sure if we told our listeners that also apparently Simon from On the Hook also spent a night in the museum. Okay, so he contacted it. I also spent a night in the museum. Yeah. And in brackets, nothing came to life. Obviously, the reference to Night in the Museum films. Now, I like his question from this a lot, because what film would be the most boring if it was just realistic? Okay, so it would be like a film where Simon is trapped in the museum, but nothing happens. I mean, just nothing happens. He just wanders around a museum. No animals come to life.
Right.
Nobody breaks in. And then the morning comes and they unlock it and he goes, oh, we're done. End of film. So he's got an example here, like, i.e. Journey to the Centre of the Earth. What? So a realistic journey to the centre of the earth, why would that be boring?
Okay.
Mark.
First one that comes to mind is Spider-Man. Yeah. Where Peter Parker gets bitten by a spider, and he gets a little bit of a welt on his hand, and he has to go to the doctor, and he says, "I've got put some cream on that. You put this cream on it, and you'll be fine." And then he does, and that's the end. That'd be a bit boring.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the film could be about the fact that maybe he gets a complication. Was that too exciting with the bite?
That's too exciting.
And he has to go back to the doctor. And the doctor says, oh, yeah, okay, well, we tried you on that cream, so we can also try on this. And he goes, oh, okay, I'll give that a go. And then he goes back to the chemist, gets the new cream, tries it on, and that works. That works in the end. So there's a little story arc there, but such a tiny story arc.
I got one too.
I quite like to make that.
It would be exciting for about the first... The Go first on. 5 minutes of the film would essentially be like a really, really short film. Okay, so it's Star Wars, the first one.
Yeah.
Darth Vader and the Stormtroopers are coming on to the, whatever coming it is. On. That, you know, remember the,
beginning, they're coming, the beginning of Star Hang on, they're coming on. Let me do my joke. They're coming on to the Wookiees.
Okay.
All right, carry on then.
Okay, that was worth
They're coming on to the book. Not coming on them, coming
So
on
the beginning
to,
of Star
like,
Wars, right, okay.
Yes.
The rebels are trying to escape from Darth Vader and his stormtroopers,
Yeah.
And they're penetrating the ship.
Of course they're penetrating it, aren't they?
And then the R2-D2 and C-3PO... Yeah. going, oh no, there's no escape for the princess this time. Quick, let's get into that. Let's get into that capsule and escape. Yeah. And then one of the stormtroopers sees it going and says, oh, there's an escape pod gone down to the planet. Shall we destroy it? And he says, no need to destroy that because there's probably nobody on board. So what? Right. Of course, if it was real, they'd just go, better be safe, blow that fucker up.
That's true, blow it up.
And then blow it up, and then that would have been the end of the film because the whole thing would have just come unraveled right there. So that would have been, could have condensed, you know, Star Wars down to 5 minutes. Blow up
the pod went off and it crashed and they died. Crashed into the
dunes. Well, they're robots, aren't they? Androids.
Oh, sorry.
Or crashed into...
We could still fucking kill a robot.
Or it missed the planet and just went off and just was floating around space forever.
No, it got caught up in the orbit. No,
it would have been like...
No.
It would have been like...
Cool, hang on. No, caught up in the orbit. That would have been funnier. It flies off. It doesn't quite get into the... And it gets caught up on the orbit of the thing. So they're around there for the whole film, just in orbit, and they can't go anywhere. Just very slowly, they're just going to eventually burn up.
Oh, they're in orbit, and they're just... and the film would just be like hours of them just like talking. It'd be like Waiting for Godot in space.
Yeah,
and they'd be like,
just R2-D2 and C-3PO. That could be quite fun, actually. I've just had a note come up on my computer saying my internet is unstable, so I'd like to apologise, Mark. It is my internet. It's the hovel's internet that's unstable.
It is unstable, I can see.
If I do that,
must be it.
So any other films, which just from a scientific point of view is just kind of, because we like this question, don't we? That basically...
I do, I like it a lot.
Oh, how about this one then? So Jurassic Park, you invent, you basically, you don't invent, you clone the animal and everything, put them in the pens, people come and they go around and they look at all the animals and...
Sorry, I've got cramp.
Are you all right? Mark's got cramp. He's just... I thought you weed yourself. Up. You jumped up.
Sorry.
I thought, God, he's just...
Clone all the animals. Clone all the animals, yeah.
So, hang on, Jurassic Park. You're all right. You're cramped.
It's a shame you haven't
got your... Yeah, you're right. So this place, you know, old, what's his face? David Attenborough. No, his brother, Richard Attenborough, that character. He's basically got this zoo full of reanimated dinosaurs. He does it and they turn up. Remember at the beginning, they turn up and they go, this is the pen where the T-Rex is. And they go, ooh, and everything like that. And there is one moment where there's a storm and the electric is cut off and you cut to the pen where the T-Rex is, where it's got, remember the T-Rex had those electric fence things on it and the electrics
vaguely, yes,
and you think, oh, the T-Rex goes towards that and everything, but then they manage to a technician manages to get a fuse in there and it comes back on again and that's it. And then people turn up and they go around the zoo and they look at the animals and they go, oh, that's nice, oh look, it's a T-Rex, it's a saber-toothed tiger, and that's the rest of the film because it all works.
Yeah,
the whole thing works perfectly because you know they're all protected. They've got and I mean maybe the that's fun. And then at the end of the film, they all leave the island. You go, well, that's fun. We'll come back next year. Yeah? How about that? That'd be a bit dull.
And that's that's the sequel. Jurassic Park 2.
They just come back. And maybe for the sequel, they've got a new new dinosaur.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens again. The electricity goes down or something. And the audience go, oh. And they manage to fix it. So it's fine. Doesn't escape. And then that's the end. Yeah. Okay, James Bond. How about a James Bond? So think of a typical James Bond.
Yeah, I was just thinking about James Bond.
Yeah. Well,
let's start with The Spy Who Loved Me, right?
Spy Who Loved Me, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So he's coming down, he's on the skis, right?
Yeah.
He's just trying to escape from those people who are firing their machine guns at him.
This is the one with the parachute, isn't it?
Yeah.
The parachute. He jumps off the.
But this before any of that happens,
yes.
He falls over and sprains his ankle.
And the rest of the film is him in hospital.
Falls into the snow.
And
he's that's it. Him in hospital with his leg up.
Yeah.
Like a kind of carry on style.
And he's just looking out the window.
It's just him lying in bed, looking at that window. Occasionally, like a nurse comes in and he'll say, like, what? he'll do one of his one liners.
Yeah.
Can't think of any right now.
Just be
him lying in bed.
Yeah,
making sort of lewd remarks to nurses for 2 hours.
For an hour and a half. No, 2 hours. Does he get out to hospital at the end or not?
And then, at the end, he goes home.
Why was it the end? Does he stay in the end with him still in there? Huh?
No, he just goes home. 2 hours of nothing happening apart from every like 20 minutes. Nurse comes in and he says, I'd like you to shake this, but not stir it. and that kind of thing. I've got a little bit of stiffness coming on.
Well, so it'd be great if you just had... If you had M popping in to visit him, oh, hello, M.
Yeah.
And M says, all right, Bond, how are you doing? He said, well, it's still a bit achy. Oh, I see. Well, anyway, good luck. I'll be back. I'll be back next week to see how you're getting on then. Yes. Yeah. And then Miss Moneypenny comes in. She's, oh, hello, Moneypenny. And Miss Moneypenny says, oh, how's it feeling? Oh, it's still kind of a little bit, ooh. And she goes, oh, well, I bought you a paper. And here's some grapes and some puzzles to do. Yeah. And he goes, oh, thank you. And then she says, if you want more puzzles, just text me. And she walks out. So that could be the interaction of the other characters, I suppose, couldn't it?
Yeah, brilliant.
You could be sat there doing a puzzle, doing Sudoku. Oh dear. Mike, we better stop there. Okay, that's good. Thank you very much for that, Hester, and for Hookie. But we might carry on with that game next week because we obviously...
I do like that quite a lot.
We quite like that, don't we? Have you got a tune to end with, Mark?
Let's have a look.
Do it.
What do we just have? We only had four. Let's have... Let's have Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks.
All right.
Is that it then? Seriously. Are we finished? I don't know. are we doing... is that the end? Is that the end?
Well, I think it is. I mean, we've done 50 minutes, so, you know, plus the songs is quite... All right. You know. Okay. Unless you've got something you want to end with. Have you got something you want to end with? All right, in which case, let's go. Thank you for listening to everyone. It's been a pleasure, as always. Always being a pleasure. Do this for you and with you and alongside you. And
Yes,
says, and Mark's concurring. Thank you very
much. What he said. Yes, I agree. What I said. Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.